This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. With our biggest sale ever, furnaces from $39 a month, furnace and air conditioning combos from $59 a month, plus 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Four Seasons guaranteed to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000 guaranteed. So call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
Chicago winters can be brutal. Snow, ice, freezing temps. If you're thinking, driving in this weather, I need a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to take the next step. Need the power and durability of a Silverado? The all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer? The spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban, or the sporty, city-friendly Trax, perfect for navigating winter streets? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to handle winter like a pro. Don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate your nearest dealer, and start shopping online. Winter roads demand a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do this. Chris Herndon deal. Chris Herndon joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
Crumbling Down by John Mellencamp, favorite son of Indiana with the Grizzlies in Indianapolis tonight to face the Pacers.
All right, we'll get to that in a moment. Drew got the statement from Zach Kleiman about the jaw stuff yesterday. That happened after we were on and we'd talked about it. And I'll say this, whatever, it is all apropos, you know, no one thinks Ja's been traded immediately. Rumors happen all the time. But I did think it was an unusually emphatic statement. What did you make of it?
I thought it was highly unusual. It was really a sledgehammer to a housefly a little bit. It was particularly unusual given the timing. It's rare for like front office people to come out publicly about stuff like that. But when they do, it's usually A, in response to an actual report, which this frankly was not.
Right.
And then B, it is in a moment in which the thing being speculated about could actually happen. It's like in the lead up to a trade deadline, or it's during the summer. Like the trade deadline was 2 weeks ago. Like nobody's getting traded anywhere.
Right.
And the idea, and I'm not saying, like, I think Zach Kleiman spoke honestly and said what he fully believes and what the franchise believes to be true. But at the same time, like, it's late February, and they're about to play 28 playoff regular season games and then play a playoffs. And, like, I don't think anyone knows what the team was going to think about itself in July. Even the people who are – I don't think Robert Parra knows what he's going to think of. You know, I just don't – to me, the idea of making declaratory statements about the summer in late February, I just almost don't care. Like, it seems sort of meaningless to me. But I think it probably ultimately this is a commentary on – how out of control the aggregation industry is in the NBA, because he wasn't really responding to a stray comment by one reporter on a podcast that didn't really say all that much. He was responding to the way that was treated by like other websites and YouTube feeds and other aggregation apparatus that take this stray little thing and suddenly, build it up into a report. And then fans are reacting to this report. And, like, it becomes such a thing that you feel like you have to respond to it, even though there was really not much there to begin with. So it's probably ultimately a commentary on just how lousy that whole thing has become, to the point that, like, I want reporters like Howard Beck or Brian Windhorst or whoever to, like, talk about hoops the way we talk about hoops sitting around the bar a little bit. Like, that's fun to listen to, and it's interesting that those guys are so reticent to do that now, because if they do something like this, it's turned into something way, 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 way more than it actually is. It's kind of a bummer.
I mean, I think the headline in the CA was, "Would the Grizzlies trade Ja Morant?" Like, it all goes so far off the rails. I'll say this though: the fact that he did it and did it so emphatically, you wonder if it's interesting, because it you could just dismiss it. And so to me, it's external
question.
And
yeah.
internal, right? It's sending a message to Ja, as much as we don't want this stuff floating around there in the midst of what the next 28 games.
Yeah, we're in the realm of speculation here, but I think that's the obvious first. I share that instinct of yours. It's an obvious first thing to speculate about. I mean, you can communicate with John Morant directly. You don't have to do it through the media, right? I'm sure they have. But maybe there's an extra element of really wanting to double down on that, because Ja is so important and you're trying to get everything on track for this stretch run. So I think that's my first instinct. It's like, you're doing this for John Morant's own sake.
Yeah.
My second instinct is, like, do you feel like you need to do this for the fan base's sake? Maybe that's like overreading, like, you know, social media reaction. But, like, certainly there's a segment of fans who are hyper engaged on social media who also followed the bait on this and took it to be more than it was. And then I wonder if part of it is just annoyance, because you're coming out of the trade deadline and you had this situation where, like, you're in the news, like really in the news in a much more real way about this Jimmy Butler stuff for weeks and weeks and weeks on end, which was way built up to be way more than it really was, but you felt like you couldn't say anything about that while it was still an active thing. And so you keep your mouth shut about all of that until it finally happens, and then you come out publicly and say, like, why are people talking about all this with us when we weren't really that involved? And maybe you were so annoyed by all that when this happens right on the heels of it, like you have a quicker trigger to, like, respond. So maybe that's part of it.
Yeah, the last time we heard from Zach Kleiman, he was saying, I don't know why we were dragged into that one, right? Exactly right. He was expressing his irritation about that. He was clearly playing to the fans in the city, though, because he didn't have to drag in, and we won't have the city be disrespected. It was...
The city was not disrespected.
100%.
Like, not everything is an assault on your city. Like, it's like, please, Memphis. Like,
it was
one. Well, it's okay.
Even I don't even think Memphis thought that it was disrespected. I thought that was a Zach Kleiman invention. He was playing up to what he knows is a sensitivity, but there was nothing in that report that quote unquote disrespected Memphis. It was unbelievable. So there we go. Okay, moving on. Before we get to the game tonight, we did have the news yesterday about the Tony Allen jersey retirement night. That's going to be on the 15th of March. I see Michael Blevins has done, he does such fabulous work on the films that he does. You were interviewed, were you not, for this once again?
I was. If you're not blinking in the exact split second that they're just, like, throwing images out there, you may see my image in the trailer.
All right, I think I did, fleetingly. Yeah, so that was good. That was fun. And it'll be a fun night. They've each had their own personality. Like, the Zeebo one was fitting, and the, you know, sitting there basically on a throne practically. And then Mark's was, it felt like about the whole team, and Mike flies in and everything. I don't know. What are your expectations of how this one will be? Fun, probably.
Yeah, I mean, I assume Zach will be there. I don't know about Mike, just because I don't think the Wolves have a game that night. But, like, who knows? They'll be in the middle of a playoff race, so
right.
I don't know whether Mike will be there and Mark is in Spain. So, you know, maybe it'll be another reunion. Maybe it won't. I felt like the Mark thing was sort of the family reunion night of it. I think the Tony thing will be about, like, how specific and unique Tony's personality was. It'll probably be a celebration of, like, a personality like none other. And a guy who's pretty rare. I mean, when they announced his jersey was going to be retired, and they announced it, like, years ago, really. But when they announced that was going to happen, like, there was a lot of around the league, a lot of eyebrow raised about, like, you know, this, like, role player who was there 7 years, retiring his jersey, averaged, like, 8 points a game or whatever. And that was like not understanding what a specific person means in a specific city. And what Tony, and he's not the only player like this. I'm sure you go around the league, you can find some other examples. But it's not your typical jersey retirement. It's about more than just like, you know, where you are in the leading scoreboard in franchise history or this kind of stuff. It's about a specific sort of cultural impact a person made in a place that is somewhat rare.
Yeah. Do you recall, I was commenting earlier that, you know, Chris Wallace, obviously in that group, made some big mistakes, but among the things, sometimes they don't get credit for the things they did well, like the, you know, Mark people, Anthony Zan and I go back about this. Does he get credit for Mark? He lucked into him. No, I don't think he lucked into him. I think they identified Mark. And so I don't know how you couldn't give him credit for Mark, but the Tony thing in particular, like, that was an under-the-radar signing. It wasn't particularly ballyhooed when it happened. They had just traded for Ronnie Brewer the previous year, another wing, given up a first-round pick for him. He gets hurt. They let him walk. They bring in Tony. And I think that was one of the truly inspired moves that Chris Wallace made while he was here.
And that was one, like, we spent a lot of time back then trying to figure out where credit was due to various people. That was a Chris Wallace
100%.
Move because Chris had come from Boston.
Yep.
And so that was an entirely a Chris Wallace. I don't say entirely. I'm sure other people on the franchise gave their opinions or whatever, but ultimately that was a Chris Wallace move. And that was one that obviously worked out beautifully.
Yeah. All right. It'll be fun. That is the 15th. Okay. Grizzlies, restart their season tonight at Indiana. As you've pointed out, it's a clean sheet. The injury report, nothing to report. It's got to be the first time this year, right? Is it? It's got to.
Yeah, no. I mean, the only player on the main roster who won't be suited up and available is Johnny Davis, who's not with the team, and has never been with the team, and I suspect will probably be waived sometime in the days ahead. And so, like, you know, they got 14 guys to choose from in terms of their main roster guys, and we'll see where it goes. It'll be interesting to see sort of, you know, what rotation choices are made. Given that's been a rare occurrence for the Grizzlies this season. You got a lot of choices. How does Taylor Jenkins handle that first game out of the break? Does that tip us off to anything? It'll be an interesting game tonight.
In terms of that, what are like two or three questions regarding rotations that pop to mind? That you're interested to see how he handles specific questions.
Are they going to start? Is the Vince Williams Jr. minutes ramp up going to start happening now? Because they had him on a pretty tight leash minutes-wise right. Those first few games back off the ankle thing. I think the intent is to ramp his minutes up over the course of the second half. Does that start to happen tonight or not, you know, first game back? They've really made noises, and they've been doing this on the court, but they've also even be more than that, they've made noises about wanting to experiment with Santi Aldama more in different kinds of spots, play him at small forward more. Do you start to see that? Like, are we going to see Jaren Jackson Jr., Brandon Clark, Santi Aldama all on the floor together? I really feel like they want to start seeing that a little bit more with the idea of maybe that's something you're going to see in the playoffs if you try to narrow down your rotation and get more minutes for your best players. And I think however the rotation narrows, it's not going to narrow in any way that's going to push Brandon Clark and Santi Aldama out of the mix. I think those are probably like top six guys for you minutes-wise in the playoffs. So I'll be looking for that. You know, and then the guys who seem to be on a little bit more in the fringes of what a playoff rotation might be, which would be, I think, Luke Kennard more solidly, but still not as 100% certain, Scottie Pippen, Gigi Jackson, those kind of guys. Like, to me, there's a lot to determine with those guys in particular between now and the end of the season.
And it's all in the context of a race, I guess we can call it that. Grizzlies half a game up on Denver, yeah. 2.5 up on Houston, 3.5 up on the Lakers, who lost last night to Charlotte, 5 up on the Clippers. I'm not saying I'm conceding Denver, but it feels like maybe, I mean, they're 25-9. At one point, they were 11-10. Denver has been 25-9 since.
Based on our conversation yesterday about playoff matchups, there's a France of World War II joke to be made with you and basketball. You're just ready to concede all the time.
I am. I'm ready to concede. I try not to get my hopes up for anything. If I concede first, I can't be disappointed. Anyway, but no, Detroit, Denver's been a wagon since then. And yeah. So, I mean, we will see. I don't know. Like, how do you do you feel pretty comfortable that they will either finish the Grizzlies second, third, or fourth?
I feel pretty comfortable they'll finish second or third. Like, only pretty, like, you know, there is, like, 3.5 games is not an enormous amount. That's the difference between second and fifth right now with the Lakers. But 3.5 games are 28 to play. Like, you'd have to, like, you know, hit a bad stretch, which they might. But I feel like if the Grizzlies win at, like, the normal clip that you would expect, given their team and given their season, they will likely be the 2 or 3 seed. Now, I wouldn't put it in ink, but I would put it in pencil. They would likely be the 2 or 3 seeds.
I think that's probably right. And then it is interesting. Like, you look beneath them, and it's a mess. Like, it is. They're, like, you know, you don't know who's going to make the play-in. You don't know who's not going to make the play-in. I guess 6 to 11, is it, is, I'm looking at it now, is it's a jumble, I would say.
I mean, this is the kind of thing where mostly, like just, you know, win some games and get your team. Worry about you right now, and then, like, check in a month or so and see what the playoff race looks like.
All right. Chris, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian. So among the things, like, for example, the Clippers are 31-23. By the way, shout out to the Clippers. Like, I don't think anyone expected that, right? Clippers are 31-23. They are sixth right now. So you're like, they're avoiding the play-in, right? That's what you want. Then they're exactly one game ahead of Minnesota and two games ahead of Dallas. And honestly, from 6 to 11, it is a total traffic jam. And so you could see, you know, what happens there. And honestly, even in the East, the Pistons right now, the Pistons are two games behind Indiana. Indiana's fourth in the East. Pistons two games out of fourth. Milwaukee, I think, is between them. So it's fun. It does feel like, Jeffrey, now that it's starting up again, that it's not at all halfway through the season. And so it really feels like it's a sprint to the finish.
Yes, totally agree with you.
Can you sprint over 28 games?
I would recommend it.
So there you go. All right. Here's what we're going to do next. We are going to play Writer Than Write Trivia. Jeffrey, tell people what the fabulous prize is.
Jeff, we got two tickets to see the Outlaw Music Festival with Willie Nelson and family and Bob Dylan June the 27th at Radiance Amphitheater.
Okay. So what we're going to do is we are going to take Willie's 91, so we'll take caller number 91.
Okay.
No, we will not take caller number 91. We'll take caller number 3. Caller number 3, the phone number is 445-0929, 445-0929. In the meantime, I will tell you, again, you don't have to beat Jeffrey. You just got to play honorably. In the meantime, I will tell you, if you're selling your house, Josh Hysaw would be the person to call. 901-461-8147, 901-461-8147, or Josh has the buyer's .com. Listen, you want a computer algorithm to determine the price of your home, or a living, breathing expert right here in Memphis who can get you every dime your house is worth? That's Josh Hysaw, deeply experienced. He and his team at Keller Williams Realty. Listen, you hear him marketing all the time. He does the same thing for your house. Flexible fees, no upfront costs, let you out of your contract at any time. It's Josh Hysaw. 901-461-8147. Josh has the buyers.com. Back in a moment with Writer Than Write Trivia. We'll do that next. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. It's that time. Writer Than Write Trivia, joined now by Kevin Cerrito, who is our MC and the impresario of Fun and Games here in Memphis, Tennessee. Kevin, what's happening?
Hey, good morning, Jeff, and Memphis, Tennessee. Well, lots going on tonight. We're back at it today. Seems the streets are clearing up, and while school is closed, everybody else is going to be open back up tonight. That includes us. We've got 5 events happening tonight, including the regular trivia nights that we have on Thursdays, Hampline Brewery.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Company on Broad Avenue, Evergreen Grill there in Midtown, and we'll be at the Hubies at Southwind. Now, we usually play trivia at Dan McGinnis in South Haven. That is going to be Music Bingo tonight since we missed it last night, and so we'll be back with trivia next week. But we'll be playing Music Bingo, Dan McGinnis tonight, not trivia, but we also have Music Bingo happening out at Waldo's in Cordova. And speaking of Music Bingo and Waldo's, we are debuting Music Bingo tomorrow in Tupelo. We're heading on down the road to Tupelo. We'll have Tupelo on Music Bingo on Friday nights at the Waldo's there. It used to be in Abner's, real close to the Malco, in the heart of Tupelo. We'll be playing every Friday night. So if you know anybody down in Tupelo, let everybody you know in Tupelo know about Music Bingo at Waldo's.
All right, Jeffrey, do we have a contestant?
We do, Jeff. Let's welcome Michael in East Memphis to the program.
Hello, Michael.
Hello.
Have you ever seen Bob Dylan or Willie Nelson?
Believe Bob Dylan, yes.
And how was it? Was it an erratic show? Was it a, he's known for, he can be brilliant or he can be disinterested, right?
I think it was one of his off nights, but we still had a good time.
All right. All right, well, best of luck. I'm going to turn things over to Kevin. Here we go.
I was talking to one of our regular teams the other day at Jack Brown's. They went there about every other week. They tune in to get their heads here on Rather Than Right Trivia. And, but they're like, I'm going to call in one week. And do you win any prizes? And I was like, well, yeah, you win the best prizes here. And today is a perfect example of that. Bob Dylan and Willie Nelson. It's like we're at the SNL special for music special here. All right, here we go. It's Right of the Right Trivia. You get a choice of two categories. Whatever you do not choose automatically goes to Jeffrey. You can steal from him once and vice versa as we go through the game. Do you want to go around the U.S. or out of this world?
around the U.S.
The singular point where the states of Utah, Colorado, Arizona, and New Mexico all meet is a popular tourist destination known by what name?
Four Corners.
That is correct. We have a point.
Four Corners. Jeffrey, you're going to have your hands full tonight.
I think so.
Yep. Today? This morning? Yep.
Whatever time. It's 10:30. Yes, yeah, in the morning. It's a snow week and a holiday week. Who knows what day it is? Out of this world, Jeffrey. Actor Jared Leto is the lead singer of what band that suggests a quick approach to a planet in our solar system?
30 Seconds to Mars.
30 Seconds to Mars is correct. We have a tie to start.
Off we go. Rollicking. This is like Missouri and Alabama. Here we go.
Movies or musicals?
Musicals.
Thank God.
Musicals. Hey, you know, Hamilton's playing at the Orpheum right now. Wait for It and The Room Where It Happens are both sung by what character in Hamilton?
We were supposed to see it last night, but we changed our tickets, and I don't remember now.
Oh, no.
It would have been a gimme. This would have been a gimme.
I know.
Yeah.
We moved our tickets. Hamilton.
He said Hamilton.
Hamilton is incorrect. Yes, he was naming Hamilton. That is incorrect. Jeffrey.
You want to steal?
You have a steal.
God. The room. All right. I'm going to steal. I think it's Aaron Burr.
All right. Steal it.
This is Aaron Burr.
Aaron Burr is correct.
Oh,
no, bummer.
All right, 2-1.
Snow possibly costing me.
Exactly right. You make one decision, and all of a sudden, the ripple effect. All right, over to Jeffrey.
I mean, you know, in the NFL, we get those snowy playoff games that can really change, you know, the outcomes. And here we go. And I did not know it would happen, Rider Than Right trivia. Movies, Jeffrey. Roomba vacuums are made by what company that shares its name with a Will Smith movie?
Oh, God. What is a Will Smith movie? Oh, man, this is terrible. I can't even think of, like, a Will Smith movie that would even be a good guess. Hancock.
That's a great guess, but incorrect. Do we want to steal here?
I don't think so.
All right. The Roomba vacuums are made by the company that shares its name with the Will Smith movie, iRobot. iRobot is the company.
Still 2-1.
And I looked this up. I'm a big fan of the robot vacuum cleaners. I looked it up because Amazon was supposed to be buying the brand of Roomba from iRobot. But apparently I don't know if they were not allowed to or what, did not go through. So it was Amazon, you know, their plan. They had the Ring cameras at the front of your house, and they're going to have the vacuum figure out the layout of the inside of your house.
Spying on everyone.
But now it's not going to happen. The robot vacuum not going to happen. I don't connect mine to Wi-Fi. We're going to go to math or science now. Sure, the next two categories.
Math.
What dimension of a circle can be calculated by multiplying its radius by 2?
Ooh. Say it one more time.
What dimension of a circle can be calculated by multiplying its radius by 2?
I have no idea. Pi? I don't know.
That is not the correct answer. The correct answer is diameter. Diameter of a circle can be calculated.
I wouldn't have gotten that either. Bruce Ryan, our old friend Bruce Ryan.
I would have gotten that one.
Though. Jeffrey would have gotten that one. All right, it's 2-1.
Of course.
2-1. Over to Jeffrey.
Science, Jeffrey. The major and minor of what chest muscles are your primary hugging muscles?
I don't have those. Just so you know, I have no hugging muscles. Yeah.
No hugging muscles.
No hugging muscles. That must be the problem. Jeffrey, there's a game. You have to respond at some point.
I know. I'm trying to think. Like pecs. Your pectorals.
Pecs. Yes. Yeah. Pectorals. That is correct.
Nailed it.
That's correct. Right. Those.
3-1. 3-1. And I had high hopes for an upset here. Still one more round of regulation. I think. Yeah. A lot of game left.
Right. A lot of game left. Big prize here. Dinner or desserts?
Dinner.
What vegetable is the key ingredient when creating a Florentine dish? A vegetable.
It's so rude.
Key ingredient.
It's so rude that I only answer when I know the rare question that I answer. Like, this is one of the rare ones that I believe I know. So I'm tempted to just blurt it out. Just to show that occasionally I know something.
It's gonna, but I won't. Have Florentine for Florentine. Dinner and head on down to the
What do you got in there? What's going to be made? What's the key to a Florentine?
A carrot?
That's not correct. Is it? Yeah. It's not correct.
What is it called? Spinach.
Spinach is the correct answer. Yes.
It is spinach, yes. Popeye is one of his favorite dishes.
All right, over to Jeffrey.
All right. Dessert for you, Jeffrey. What popular candies were originally sold exclusively to the U.S. government for soldiers in World War II due to their durability in challenging conditions?
Candies. Durability.
Popular candy was originally sold exclusively
really
to the U.S. government. What?
Bit of honey. That's durable. That can't be the answer. It's too obscure to be the answer. Jeffrey, I mean, don't guess that. But that's a damn durable candy. Have you ever tried to chew a bit of honey?
For the durability.
Only maybe if you were born in the 1960s did you try to
chew it.
I'm filibustering while
Jeffrey's
pondering.
My first thought, though, doesn't count as candy. That's the struggle that I have.
What's your first thought? Talk through this with us, Jeffrey.
Gum.
This isn't a question. This isn't an answer. I would not think gum would qualify as a candy, Jeffrey. That's my own particular advice to you. But you win this game without my advice all the time, so you probably don't need it.
I'm just gonna say a Hershey's bar.
He's gonna say a Hershey's bar. I don't think that's that durable.
Yeah, see, they're not very durable.
Not very durable.
Incorrect answer.
Yeah,
that's the incorrect.
Oh wait, we could have a steal. We could have a steal the other direction. Yeah, you got any idea?
I was
going to
say Tootsie Roll.
That's not it. Sorry.
No.
I can see that.
Tootsie Roll would work. Pretty durable.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would. But the correct answer is actually M&M's. M&M's.
Those melt, too.
They melt, not in your hand. I don't know if you ever... I just made that up.
Not in your hand.
All right, so the score is 3-1, I believe. And we go into the final round. Jeffrey, I see how many you're wagering. How many do you wish to wager? To our honorable contestant.
Oh, one. I'll have to go all in, I guess.
Okay. Well, all right. So he's going all in. All right. Here we go. We'll start with you.
For the record, Jeffrey brought up a very interesting question about this gum. I think you've been pondering this since you brought it up. Is gum a candy or not?
Have you been chewing it over?
Yeah, I've been chewing it over. So yes. There. It's in the candy section at the store.
It's not. No, gum is not candy. No. Gum is not candy. That's ridiculous.
Like, it's very sugary. Some of it, right? I wouldn't chew that kind. I don't think your dentist would recommend you chew that.
The kind that I want to chew.
Yeah, all right. Anyway, let's carry on here. Let's wrap this baby up. 3-1 is the score.
It could be the new TikTok trend of conversation. Is the hot dog a staple?
Yeah, it's right. Gum and candy.
Cartoons is the final category. Do you want question A or B?
A.
Cartoons. We have a Disney round tonight. We pre-announce a one round a week on social media and in our newsletters. We have a Disney round tonight. These are not Disney cartoons, though. Question A. Chemical X is a mysterious ingredient that was spilled into sugar, spice, and everything nice that ended up creating what animated super group? Chemical X was a mysterious ingredient that was spilled into the sugar, spice, and everything nice that ended up creating what animated super group?
Oh boy! Powder Puff Girls or something like that.
Powder Puff Girls is correct.
Whoa,
that is the correct answer.
That's 3-2.
For the record, is Powerpuff correct?
Powerpuff. Oh.
That's what he said, right?
Yeah,
we're
giving it to him, man.
Three to two.
Here's the thing. You got to beat the champ, though. You can't just tie the champ, but you could tie the champ. He's already used his steal, though. So all he can do is tie the champ. tie or go down in ignominious defeat. Jeffrey, it's up to you.
They may not have counted that answer on Wheel of Fortune. It sounded right to me. We don't count.
That's close
enough for that. All right, we have Jeffrey Cartoons is the category. Casey, Ord, Zach, and Wheezy are dragons that appear in what educational animated children's series that ran on PBS from 1999 to 2005?
Say that again.
Cassie, Ord, Zach, and Wheezy.
You know it. I think I do. It's Dragon Tales.
Dragon Tales is correct.
Unbelievable. 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 Do you believe we have an honorable contestant?
I most certainly do.
All right. Enjoy Willie and Bob Dylan.
I've
thanks
got
for playing. We appreciate it.
Appreciate it,
thanks very much. Kevin, where can people figure out where you and your many talented hosts will be?
Well, go to SaritaEntertainment.com. You can see the full schedule for trivia and music bingo. As always, you'll hear one or more of these questions tonight and in every trivia over the next week or so. So you have an advantage for tuning in right now to Writer Than Right Trivia here on 92.9 ESPN. And music bingo going on everywhere and now in Tupelo now. So find out the full schedule, SaritaEntertainment.com.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate it. We're going to take a break. Back in a moment, 92.9 FM ESPN. All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Looking forward to hockey tonight. Looking forward to the Grizzlies tonight. I wish I had two TVs like you, Jeffrey.
Yep, I will be. I'll be using them.
The Kachuk brothers are ready to go. Everyone's ready to go. Quinn Hughes sadly did not join the U.S. team from the Canucks.
I'm just saying, Adam Banks didn't think he was going to play in the final of the 1994 Junior Goodwill Games.
We did have, and this is occasionally. Maybe self-indulgent of me to have a little more Bills information than you would otherwise get on a local Memphis talk radio show. But Haley Steinfeld, you're aware of her work, right?
Yes.
She's an actress, a singer, whatever else,
I think, both.
And she is the fiance of Josh Allen, the reigning MVP, NFL's reigning MVP, deservedly so. And she's also a big football fan, just apart from that.
Mm-hmm.
And where was she appearing? She was appearing.
So this was on What to Wear. It's like one of those YouTube videos.
And they asked football questions. And here's Haley Steinfeld.
Okay. Dare. Take our football IQ quiz. Okay. How many yards is a roughing the passer penalty? 15 yards. Name the four teams in the AFC East Division. You got the Buffalo Bills and the Bills' three sons. And what is the Super Bowl trophy called? The Lombardi Trophy.
The Buffalo Bills and the Bills' three sons. What did you think? Can the fiancé be talking smack? Is that appropriate?
Absolutely. In fact, that's like what you want.
That is what you want. That's going to be popular in the locker room. Before we break, I would just direct you a little bit, speaking of being indulgent, to a column I wrote today about a man named Donald Riley, who was killed in Vietnam in 1965. He was a helicopter pilot. He and his wife grew up in Memphis, and they met at Millington when he was stationed at Millington, and went on to serve. And what he did was a medevac pilot. So he'd literally fly in and put his life at risk to rescue people. And in 1965, there was a firefight, and it was the bullets were flying so thick that he said, we're going to go in by getting a single Marine to hold a flashlight and direct us down to where we need to go. He is dozens of feet off the ground when a bullet entered the cockpit, hit him. A helicopter crashed and he died. He was buried right here at Memorial Park in Memphis. It was, I gather, sort of a hurried funeral. And his wife was devastated at the time, as you would imagine. And then she always regretted. He was, at the time he died, he was the most decorated Marine in Vietnam. And she always regretted that he had not been buried in Arlington National Cemetery. But I talked to his daughter, who grew up in Memphis, went to St. Agnes, now lives in Chattanooga. And she said her mother was never really, couldn't talk about him without crying, and never really had this sort of emotional ability to try to get his body transferred to Arlington National Cemetery. But they never visited the grave at Memorial Park. She said he's not there, and that's not where he belongs. And by the way, people at Memorial Park throughout this entire saga were great. But anyway, so when Emily, who was Donald Reilly's wife, died in 2019, I think it was, at the age of 88, her daughter, their daughter, decided to go ahead and start the process of trying to get him moved to Arlington National Cemetery. And it took years, and it took incredible, cutting through incredible amounts of red tape. But on January 2nd of this year, a backhoe pulled up to a grave in Memorial Park, and Donald Reilly was disinterred. There are pictures over at the Daily Memphian of the casket, and it is stunningly pristine. It was in a vault, and then the casket. They said when they opened the casket, it was actually it was glass underneath it, and they looked in, and what they could see were his aviator wings, which were like they had been shined yesterday. And he will be now buried in Arlington Cemetery this May, and will get the send-off that he deserves nearly six decades later. So you can read that piece over at the Daily Memphian. Jeffrey, what's coming up next on 92.9?
Jeff, here's what's coming up next on Jason and John. Drew Hill, who had the report yesterday from, of course, Zach Kleiman. He will join their program at 11:25. Cobb joins me today on Jeffrey Wright and Company. Eric will join us live from Indianapolis. Jason Smith will join us as well. Jeff with Gabe at 5 o'clock.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We will be back tomorrow. Got to get out of here for an hour. Work is done.